ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मोकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं। यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानंद माधवम्। वी आर डिस्कसिंग दी 17th चैप्टर ऑफ दी भगवद गीता, वेरी एप्टली टाइटल्ड एज श्रद्धात्रय विभाग योगा। नाउ इन अवर लास्ट क्लास भगवान कृष्णा हैज बीन गिविंग अस, शोइंग अस द पाथ हाउ टू ओवरकम द थ्री गुणास। दैट ओवरकमिंग the three gunas has to be done just as we climb a ladder from the lower step to the higher step. So from tamo guna to rajo guna, rajo guna to sattva guna, and then go beyond all gunas. Why? Because it is the gunas which give us our experience of the world. World means duality. Duality means individuality or finiteness. It is these qualities which divide the indivisible Brahman, as it were, not really, as it were, in our minds, I am separate from everything else. Now, if we can remove these three gunas, why? Because every guna lends only to that division, including the sattva guna. So, how to slowly progress forward from tamas to rajas, rajas to sattva, and sattva to our real nature? So, the Lord has outlined four practical steps. Human life consists of, first of all, what we call the lower values, survival, food, clothing, etc. Then we become awake to higher ideals, and that is achieved through the worship of Deva, Dvija, Guru, Prajna, Pujanam, etc., Brahmacharya, Ahimsa, etc. Then we have to do a kind of tapasya. Tapasya means getting rid of all those things which stop our progress, and since they have been guiding our life since a long, long time, it will take a great hardship, almost a superhuman struggle. And to get rid of these unspiritual qualities and to acquire spiritual qualities requires a lot of effort. That effort in the right direction to get rid of opposing qualities and to get infused with helpful qualities is called tapasya. As I mentioned in the last class, tapasya is nothing but that action which takes us nearer to God, which takes us away from worldliness. So, we have been discussing about this third step, which is called tapasya. And what was the last step? Once we have gained something, we have to share it with others, because really speaking, there are no others. Everybody is my own reflection, myself manifesting through different, even that seemingly different bodies, different minds, etc. We'll come to that point later on. We are in the third step, and the Lord has said that there are three types of austerities. What is this? These are called austerities because, as I mentioned, the first characteristic of an austerity or whether it is at all an austerity is determined solely by measuring whether it is taking us away from our attachments to the world and bringing us nearer and nearer to God by developing certain spiritual qualities and reducing their opposite qualities. So that is the tapasya, austerity. And this austerity have been divided into three folds. The what we call body austerity, and the speech austerity, and the thought austerity. Why three? Because every individual consists of these three only. A mind consisting of thoughts, and thoughts expressed through speech, communicate with others. Every living creature wants to communicate with their own creatures, both for survival as well as for progress, for evolution. That's why we have got a mind, we have got a speech, we have got a body. The grossest is the body, subtler, therefore more difficult to control, to direct, to purify, is the vocal or the austerity of speech. And the last is to control the very source, the very origin, the cause of our entire life, consisting of both worldliness as well as spirituality, happiness, unhappiness, good and evil. Everything depends upon our mind. So aptly expressed, mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho, both liberation as well as bondage, both are there in the mind. One type of mind binds us, another type of mind liberates us. Not really, neither the mind binds us nor liberates us, but seemingly, as like dream, we may be bound by something and some kind soul comes and liberates us. Upon waking up, we discover everything is our thought, even the thought of our being bound, that is a thought in the mind, and it creates appropriate emotions. Similarly, a kind soul coming there and rescuing us is as well falls under the same category, but it is more positive than the earlier one. So that is an analogy to understand. From the Advaitic point of view, really we have never become anyone else, always ever remaining Atman or Brahman. But at this moment we do not know, just as a dreamer doesn't know that he is a prince, but he thinks he is a beggar, so like that. So three departments of life: either we are living in the waking state, dream state, or dreamless state. So that is what is said, roughly equating these three to the body, to the speech, and to the mind. With this, we have discussed the 15th shloka. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam hitam chayat svadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate. 8 spiritual qualities. Six spiritual qualities. Anudvega karam vakyam. Our speech should be such, it should never disturb the peace of anybody else. It should not hesitate, even if we have to tell something which is beneficial, which is truth, but at the same time, which may not be liked by the other person. So, our speech should be such, it must never disturb the peace of the other person's mind. Satyam, it must be truthful. Why? Because the most popular saying, know the truth and the truth frees you, liberates you, is an absolute truth. So it must be truth only. However nice looking, untruth always leads to after effects, which are highly undesirable. So, priyam, that would be most pleasing way we have to convey to other people, hitanchayat, and that which is beneficial. If speech is consisting of these four qualities, that is what we have to practice. If we lack in any one of them, we will have to slowly, gradually improve, but it must be truthful, it must be beneficial, it must be pleasing, but at the same time, even if some negative news is there, which fulfills all these three conditions, but it may agitate the person's mind. Therefore, we have to learn the art of how to convey this to somebody else. Then we will be slowly approaching nearer to God. Then swadhyaya means study of scriptures, keeping holy company, very, very important. And the Lord says abhyasa, that means repeated practice, again and again and again, until we become liberated. And swadhyaya, and then swadhyaya also has got what is called self-study. It is very important for every person who wants to be happy, who wants to be successful, even if that person doesn't want to be spiritual or wants to be very worldly. It's very important. Where am I making a mistake? Am I expressing myself well? Is there something that I am doing wrong? Can I give it up? Have I the willpower to give it up? That what we call the willpower test is done, and willpower can be developed, and willpower is very beneficial provided the mind is very pure. So that is, so both study of the scriptures and comparing ourselves objectively to find out our own defects and faults so that we can slowly overcome them is also part of the self-study, appropriately titled as self-study. Then there is also what is called Guru has given us mantra, and with Shraddha, with devotion and with joy, slowly repeating the mantra, surrendering ourselves gradually to the Divine Lord is very important part of this. Repeating mantra is important part of this austerity related to the speech. Then we come to the Manaprasada. This is what we discussed in our last class. 16th shloka we are entering now. Manaha prasadaha saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samshuddhi iti etat tapaha manasam ucchate. Serenity of mind, gentleness, silence, self-control and purity of heart. These constitute the austerity of the mind. This is very, very important for us to understand. So let us dwell upon each one of these qualities: serenity of mind, gentleness, silence, self-control and purity. Five beautiful qualities. If we can have even 5 to 10% of these five qualities, our minds will become extremely happy. After all, whether a person professes belief in God or not, everybody wants such a mind which is always happy. There is no controversy about that. Everybody believes that. So, this is very important. Mind control, this is what mind control means. Get rid of those negative ideas that I have to sit like a cruel dictator with a whip, and then whenever the mind misbehaves, I have to give it. No, there are certain proven techniques are there. These are the five techniques are there. The Lord is telling nothing but summarizing what thousands or hundreds of thousands of great spiritual people practiced all over the world, are practicing even now all over the world, and will have to practice in future also. Why do I say so? Here, the question of race, religion, language, doesn't at all come, because the minds of every human being is exactly in the same condition at the beginning. What is that condition? First of all, it is a monkey. Secondly, it is drunk. Thirdly, it is bitten stung by a ferocious scorpion. And lastly, it is possessed by a demon. This was how Swami Vivekananda had described every common human mind. And to control such a mind, that is actually this word control, very properly belongs to the yoga system. Whereas Vedanta, and Bhagavad Gita is part of that Vedanta, uses these beautiful terms. Even repetition of these Sanskrit words give us a tremendous amount of pleasure, happiness to us. So that is called, let us dwell upon it, manah prasadaha, in serenity of mind, saumyatvam, gentleness, and maunam, observing silence, atma vinigraha, self-control, and purity of our bhava samshuddhihi. Bhava means actually here thoughts, or we can even translate them as emotions. We will dwell upon these things as we go on. Manah prasadaha. Shankaracharya, so superb comments upon this will be taking as help, because I found them of utmost help. So what is he going to say? Manah prasadaha. What does it mean? Manasah prashantihi. First he says the peacefulness of mind, unagitating state, extraordinarily calm and quiet, and yet full of love, full of positive emotions. That is what. And then he adds one more quality, svachata apadanam prasadaha, to make it pure, to rub it so that it will be reflecting the divine light exactly as it is without distorting. And that process of removing the dirt is called svachata apadanam, bringing about purity. That is called prasadaha, mana prasadaha. So simple, it means the mind is, first of all, is acquiring certain qualities, and thereby the mind becomes very acquires peacefulness. The peacefulness is not the silence of the dead people under the earth, but it is a person who is completely alive and who is completely awake, not only alive but awake, and looking forward every millisecond. We can see it in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, direct disciples, and Ramana Maharshi. I will stop here, but it is available in Mirabai's life, Tulasidas' life, and every other great saint. Saint means he has got this manaprasada, is what is called tremendous, an ocean of peace that passeth all understanding. So here we have to be careful that sometimes we appear to be cheerful. I've seen so many times that people who are not at all cheerful, they go on appearing, they talk as if they cannot stop the happiness that is just flooding their minds. But it is all hollow, it doesn't last long, like a salesman's speech. So that is not the correct one. Really to be cheerful, and until one acquires these qualities, one cannot be really naturally cheerful at all. So any discipline which helps us acquire and maintain this mental cheerfulness is called tapaha. It involves, of course, a very surrendering attitude to God and continuous prayer. And then above all, this is what psychologists tell us, acceptance of yourself and of the situation in which we find ourselves. Many years back I was reading How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. I advise many of our so-called devotees to start their spiritual life with this book, because it contains tremendous amount of spiritual truths. So one of the things Dale Carnegie mentions here, is you sit, suppose you are worrying, you think there is a real cause for worrying, you sit there and put your question and say, what is the worst that can happen? What is the worst? I may die. So, death, is death something horrible, really speaking? How many people are not dying every day? So, and is there suffering? Yes, what is the worst? And not only that, let us compare ourselves to millions of people who are in much worse condition than us. And then we have to be realistic and say, why am I worrying now, when such as these persons who should really commit suicide? Sometimes we see them extremely cheerful in spite of not having food, clothing, terribly shivering in this unbearable cold. You can see the recent news. And then I sitting here in a well-warmed house, and because it is winter, I am talking like that. So, first-class food is there. Why am I worried about it? And that continuously repeating that thought will definitely quieten down our agitation and triggers. Then he also tells, and that is what Vedanta also tells, Dale Carnegie tells and Vedanta tells, because these are common psychological truths. Acceptance of life, that is to say, whatever I am, my body, my organs, my mind, my opportunities, everybody, let us accept, is restricted to his or her condition. However much we may wish otherwise, it is not going to change. So, acceptance of the past, what has happened, and acceptance of the future, what is going to happen. So, if I can do that with prayer and with surrender to God, with trust in God, then I can become cheerful. It definitely gradually leads to that condition, but it is a spiritual quality we have to accept. Not only that, is Vedanta tells us that you are Ananda Swarupa. Psychologists tell us that many people who are under the most horrible, unhappy circumstances are seen to be much more happy than people who should be even more happy than those people. So, we have every right to live cheerfully, happily, with complete positive attitudes. And then, nowadays, what is happening? Something horrible is happening. Everybody has to prove as how beautiful I am, how clever I am, how competitive I am, how I can show that I am running past everybody's ambition. I have to prove to the company executive how I deserve promotion because I am always striving to do, whereas this person, he does exactly only what he is supposed to do, etc. And this terrible mental disease called that I have to prove every second of my life that I am somebody is sapping the very vitality of people, and I don't need to prove. I am what I am. Just look at a dog, look at a bird, look at a tree. They don't have any of these problems. They accept everything cheerfully. And if lower manifestations of life like that can live so cheerfully, accepting life, why can't I? Because we have been taught that we have to be competitive, we have to be up and doing, and all those things. So, this is beautifully expressed in many of the lives of great people, but I will quote from what is called Mukunda Mala Stotram, composed by Kulasekhar Alvar. But I am not going to go into the poem itself. He says, this is called Bhavitavyam Bhavatyeva. Whatever has to happen is going to happen. And whatever is not going to happen is not going to happen. Here the question of religion, irreligion, theism, atheism doesn't step in at all. This is a stark, naked truth of life, nature, the world. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. And you may try to say, I will control it. You can only try to control your mind and then accept what is going to happen and accept what is not going to happen. Beyond that, no human being has any power whatsoever. So, bhavitavyam, whatever is to happen, bhavatyeva, it is going to happen. No power on earth can stop it. This is a very important spiritual quality every one of us have to develop. Then, is it a fatalism? No. This is a very positive step taken that what is going to happen is going to. But within that, whatever capacity God has endowed me with, let me express it fully. So this is the truth about living, and this is most useful for us. And that is how we develop Manaprasada. And then Jesus Christ tells us something very, very important, which Dale Carnegie also repeats it, because he takes a lot of these truths from the Bible and other scriptures also. So he says that you compartmentalize your life one day for one day at a time. What happened yesterday is dead and gone. What is going to happen next second, we do not know. But today I am alive. Today what can I do? What best I can do? That's all I can do. Whatever best I can do, strive. Because each soul has got tremendous potentialities, which Aldous Huxley calls human possibilities. Everybody, an ordinary cook can become an extraordinary cook. A student can become a better student. A housewife can become a better housewife. A teacher can become a better teacher. A doctor who doesn't have any remedies yesterday, today somebody had discovered something. Tremendous possibilities are there. So keep looking for these wonderful possibilities, and that can be done only, not to worry what happened in the past. That's what Jesus Christ says, bury your dead. Let the dead bury their dead. But you go on living, don't even look forward. Today, this is the opportunity, of course, with good planning, learning lessons from the past, what best can I do? So this is live a day at a time, and this is the prayer we get in many of these hymns. Oh Lord, today is you have given me, let me think of you as much as possible, because I don't know what is going to happen next second. Kimascharyam atah param param. Then in Bhagavad Gita itself, we have got a beautiful saying is there. This word prasada comes there quite a number of times. What does he say? Prasade prasada sarva dukkhanam hani rasya upajayate prasanna chetasohi asu buddhi pariyavatishtate. So without prasade sarva dukkhanam, when the mind becomes serene because of surrender to God and trying to lead a pure life, and all the miseries, they are there. They have not disappeared. But in spite of that, mind becomes extremely serene. That is why the Lord says, Hanihi asya upajayate. Every dukkha, it takes a back seat because of this. And once a person's mind becomes prasanna, well pleased, hasu buddhi pariyavatishtate, it sits firmly in God and thinks only of God. So that is why this cheerfulness, peacefulness, and absolute pure filling the mind with pure thoughts is most important. But it also requires another quality, and these qualities, let us remember, let us never forget, cannot be acquired easily. It takes a lot of effort. And that effort to acquire these qualities is named as austerities in this particular instance, in this particular verse. Manaha saumyatvam. Saumyatvam. Shankaracharya saumyatvam yat saumanasyam. That is, the mind becomes absolutely gentle, like a small child or like a person whose desires have been fulfilled. Saumanasyam ahu. Gentleness. That which is expresses itself as kindliness of spirit. Unless a person is gentle, that is what is called gentleman. Swami Brahmananda used to say, first be a gentleman, after that only strive to become spiritual person. So this mind must become gentle, speech automatically follows and becomes gentle, actions also become very gentle. The Divine Mother in the Chandi has been himmed very beautifully like this, Saumya, Saumyatara Asesha, Saumyephyaha Atisundari. The Divine Mother is the most gentle person. Why? Because she is the universal mother. We are all children. Whatever we do, mother never gets agitated at all because she knows we are all children. So, manaha saumyatva, gentleness, purity, thinking positive thoughts has to be acquired, and that is an austerity. When a mind, anybody's mind has this attitude, there is saumyatva. So, this is an expression of a thought frame of the mind. Our thoughts must become gentle. Even if you are angry, that is why they say count to 20. So that emotion will dry up. And what remains is a pure objective thought. So there is a very good possibility we can be very, very gentle. Shankara says it is clarity, swachhata, which is also cheerfulness. And then this what is called prasada. In connection with that, Shankaracharya tells something very, very important. Here it goes. Mukha adi prasada karya unneya antakaranasya vrittihi. You see, many times when we look at other people's faces, then we can assume that what is going on inside the mind. A child is crying. We know that the child is hurt, he is suffering. A child is laughing. We can easily infer, but the modern world is teaching us, khabardar, do not express your real thoughts. Hide them as much as possible. When you feel like cutting the other person's throat, you smile gently and said, my friend, honey and sweetness, my cake, etc., etc. Hide all those things. How much mental suffering is coming because of this hypocritical behavior. So, here is something. Shankara gives this example. Here is a father and he is not pleased with his child's behavior. His face assumes a little bit harder expression. Immediately the child understands, my dad is not pleased with me. So, he changes his tactic. This is what is called B.K. Skinner's method of training animals, the stick and the carrot. The father is not really displeased, but he assumes artificially in order to train the child in the correct ways. Similarly, a mother trying to even beat the child is only for the child's welfare, not for her pleasure. No mother will be pleased. If any woman is pleased, she is a rakshasi, she is a demoness, not a mother at all. So, this pleased frame of mind, and that means these kind of thoughts is what is called saumyatvam. So, that is one thing we have to say here. And these have to be acquired only with great effort. So, it is an austerity. Then finally, maunam. What is maunam? Vang niyama, controlling our speech. Is it necessary at all to speak all the time like your Niagara Falls? There are so many people, they cannot stop. When they come into your presence, you feel like dying, committing suicide if you don't kill the other persons. And we are told, somebody is not speaking properly, that person is not doing the right thing, he has no future hopes at all. So, they teach how to speak and how to mix with people. In my opinion, this is such an artificial something. It is better to be natural, even if the society doesn't understand us, but it is far better to be ourselves than anything else. So, what is it? Maunam, silence. What is silence? Speak when needed. Speak truth. Speak what is beneficial. speak what is pleasing and speak gently so that the person will not be hesitated. The first condition we have already seen. Vak niyamaha. This is perfect control when to speak, how to speak. Now here in our modern society, there is a terrible urge. I have to speak out. I have to speak out. And many mad fellows, it is my misfortune. They come and I have to speak to you. I have to tell you. The essence of what they talk is, I am stupid and I don't have any control over my mind. So you please come to my rescue. My inevitable reply would be, you better speak much less. That would be so much wonderful it is. So that everything can be done in a better way when we have control over our speech. In fact, Shankaracharya goes to the extent of saying, the first doorway to yoga is maunam, that you speak when necessary, but in a particular way, but when it is not necessary, that you do not speak. Why? Because speech destroys a lot of energy. That is why we have to do it. Then the last quality is Atma Vinigraha, Maunam, Atma Vinigraha. What is Maunam? That is, try to control your mind. How to control the mind? We have seen this one in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Please go back. One of the very important thing is observe the mind and meditation. These two. Arjuna's question, it is very difficult to control the mind. The Lord gives a categorical answer. Abhyasena kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. So abhyasa, continuous, constant practice, even if we do not seem to progress in life. But it must be accompanied, not a mechanical type of practice, but actively with complete awareness, trying to give up what is inimical to our physical health, mental health, etc. So speaking properly and sometimes not speaking, this control over the speech is possible only when there we have practiced silence. So silence is the platform, a foundation from which when to speak, how much to speak, when to stop is possible only for a person who had practiced mauna. But nowadays, there are people who go on and like chatter boxes, go on talking and talking and talking, and that is one of the greatest signs of a greater mental illness. So, Atma Vinigraha is controlling the mind, acquiring mastery over the mind so that this can be practiced. This is called mental tapas. And then they finally comes Bhavasamshuddhi. What is Bhavasamshuddhi? All emotions have to be controlled. And whatever we do to accomplish that, it all comes under the umbrella of Atma Vinigraha. Why? What is it that wreaks havoc in our life? It is not thoughts. Thoughts are the causes. Like a mango seed cannot give pleasure. Similarly, a seed of a poisonous tree also usually does not give killers. But when it is planted and it is looked after and it grows very strong, then the effects of that, either in the form of flowers or fruits or bark or juice of the leaves, etc., can become very, very poisonous. So, we have to take note here. Not only we have to control the happy emotions, but also the unhappy emotions. Why? Because if we cannot control happy emotions, then we can also, cannot control the negative emotions, unhappy emotions. even though you might have heard, I will just tell a joke for a few minutes. There was a man who was playing lottery. And once he had a heart attack. This man has been playing lottery for so many years in his life, and he never won even $1 in America. So once it so happened, when he was more than 60 years old, and he was he had a coronary attack and he was hospitalized. There was an excellent cardiac doctor. He was looking after him, and then he slowly was recovering, and then the doctor became very close friend because he was really looking after this gentleman very well. Suddenly at that time, this man, before having the coronary attack, he purchased a lottery ticket and he won $1 million. Now, the family members became extremely anxious how to convey this news, because within 3 days, the money has to be claimed. So they went and placed their problem to the cardiac doctor. And the doctor said, "Don't worry, leave it to me, I will take care of it." Next morning he went there, sat on the bed and went on catching hold of the hand of this man and went on telling, "Oh, how are we doing? Oh, thanks doctor, because of your care and love and right diagnosis, etc. I am very cheerful. I am recovering. Just in a few days I will be a normal man." Then like that, the doctor diverted his mind and slowly introduces him. Supposing Bill. Bill was his name. Supposing you get a news that you had won $1 million in lottery. What will you do? And the Bill nonchalantly, without any emotion, said, "My friend, you saved my life. I will give you 50% of it." Hearing this, the cardiac doctor fell down dead, having a heart attack. Anyway, what is the point? We have to have control both happy and unhappy emotions. And we are all slaves to this raga and dvesha. We like certain things, dislike certain things. Therefore, when some things we get which we like very much, we become excessively happy, and the opposite. So if we want to control the negative thoughts, which every one of us would like to very much, then we have to start controlling. Well, this happy thing happened, that's fine. It may not happen again, or even if it happens, I may not be in a position to enjoy it. It is all God's grace. It is nothing. I do not need to take any credit. Slowly look at it objectively and bring it down. And surprisingly, when unhappy situations arise, unhappy emotions also will arise as a result of it, but they will be there. The man is not a fool. He knows what is the reality, and yet he is a master in charge of his own emotions. And that technique is called emotional intelligence, which a beautiful book, Emotional Intelligence, has been written, which has become box office hit, Emotional Intelligence. So we also must have not only emotional intelligence, but spiritual intelligence too. Later on, somebody has written, a Jewish couple have written that book. I do not remember now the names. So it is very important that we have to control our mind. Then bhava samshuddhi, purity of heart, also means our motives. And it is not what we do much, it is not what we speak much, but it is what we really, motivations that we have that make us either good people or evil people. That is why some people's minds are so pure, like children. That is why babies can never become hypocrites. It is impossible for them. But as we grow, we are taught in society, it's not good to express every emotion that comes into your mind. And certain things are good for our vyavahara, day-to-day transactions. But it, in course of time, transcends, and it outgrows this self-control, the line of demarcation. And in course of time, we really become actors, what is called evil motivations will be there, and that is not good at all. So that is why when we see some people and we say he's a hypocrite, and in Sanskrit we call it a mayavi. So he does one thing, he says something, and then he thinks entirely different thing, and that should be avoided. This is called bhava samshuddhi, or purity of the heart. And interestingly, something very wonderful Sri Ramakrishna expresses. That is, there is a devotee and everybody is hearing the name of Shiva. He is loudly uttering, constantly, continuously uttering Shiva, Shiva, Om Namah Shivaya. But through his lips, he is continuously uttering the name of Hari only, because he likes. But in his secret cave of the heart, he is only meditating upon the Divine Mother. So what am I talking about? The man's thoughts are on the Divine Mother and he is muttering the name of Hari, but he is shouting the name of Shiva. So this way, people do not know what his lips are uttering and what his thoughts are thinking. So this is must be terrible hypocrite. But in this case, he is one of the greatest spiritual practitioners, because a true spiritual seeker doesn't want anything of his spirituality to be known by other people. Now, these are the three austerities of the body, of the speech, and of the mind. And this throws a tremendous light, and we have lots and lots of lives to advance, not to perfect, not to speak of perfection, but advance in these areas. These are the what is called Sharirika, Vachika, Manasika tapasyas. And people endowed with Tamoguna and Rajoguna and Sattvaguna, they also practice these three austerities. It is not that we have to practice one. The same person has to practice mental austerity, or austerity of the heart, austerity of the thoughts, austerity of speech, and austerity of the body. And all these three simultaneously have to be practiced even by three types of people. That is, a person endowed with tamoguna, another person endowed with rajoguna, and still another person endowed with sattvaguna. But how do we know? And that is being beautifully outlined here in the starting from the 17th, in three verses. So let us go to the 17th verse. Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapaha tat trividham naraihi afala kankshibhi yuktaihi satvikam parichakshate. This threefold austerity practiced with supreme faith by men of steadfastness without the desire for fruit is said to be of the nature of sattva. Imagine, here is a sattvika person and he does all these three types of austerities. How does he do it? This is how he do it. First of all, Shraddhaya Paraya. This person is endowed the supreme Shraddha, deep faith. What does it mean? Even if he is like the story of the Job, even if the man is on deathbed, yes, everything that he had, which was tremendous, he was wealthy, he was healthy, he had a marvelous family, and the Satan came and after betting with God and took away everything, the man was inflicted with a terrible deadly disease, and so many neighbors, every time something disaster takes place. So Job, why do you still take the name of God? He is depriving everything. But Job's only one answer is there. God has given and he has a right to take it away, because he who gives has also the right to take it away, because it belongs to that person. So if you have borrowed something from somebody, that person can demand that thing at any given time. So I have nothing to say. The Divine Lord knows what is best for me, his child, and I am not going to turn away from such God. This is called Paraya Shraddhaya. This is supreme faith, and it can never be shaken. And with that faith, he tries to perform these three kinds of austerities. Taptam, tapaha, trividham, narai. By some people endowed with sattvaguna and endowed with this supreme faith in the Divine Lord, thus he will be going on performing these things. As I have outlined earlier, that this people's policy is, the whole universe is created by me, I am also created by God, and He is looking after me, not only Srishti, Sthiti also. This is a tremendous fact we have to take into consideration. He who has created us doesn't forget us. Every millisecond He is doing what is best, just as a loving mother takes care of her children, whether small babies or a little bit grown, etc., according to their necessities. Her love is exactly the same, but her reactions may be different according to the necessity of the time and situation. So the Lord is looking after. So such is the faith of these Sattvika people. So what do they do? Afala kankshibhi yuktaihi. Moreover, they do not say, "Oh Lord, give me three things. Save me from dangers, fulfill many of my unfulfilled desires." And they will also not say that, "Oh Lord, I am curious to know who you are, whether you are, where you are, how you are, what you are, and how can I reach you." This is called jignasa, or inquiry into the teleological truths. That those three stages, dharma, artha and kama, long past. They have passed all those things. They want only one thing. They want to be, to go to their mother and father, true mother and father, which is God, as soon as possible. So that is what afala kankshivi. Earlier we have dealt, Sattvika people perform yajnas, worship, without desiring any fruit, any result. But in that context, the Shankaracharya says, not that they don't have any desire, but they do not have any worldly desire. They have only spiritual desire. And that spiritual desire is what is being said here. Oh Lord, we will do all this kind of austerity. We only require one thing from you. Please draw us nearer to you and nearer to you. And if persons who are endowed with this supreme faith and they don't want anything excepting God, and they do these three kinds of austerities to the best of their ability, being aware of what they are doing all the time, and that kind of performance of austerity with regard to these three types of austerities is called Sattvika austerity. Now we'll take a little bit of help of Shankaracharya. Shraddhaya paraya taptam. Shraddhaya astikya buddhya. God exists, other world exists, dharma exists, karma phala exists, parama prakrushtaya taptam. They do their level best to do 100% if possible of that kind of austerities. Anushtitam tapaha tat prakrutam trividham triprakaram triadhishtanam naraihi. So what is this shraddha? That God exists and He is the only goal of life, and we have got three instruments. They have to be purified. They can be purified only through these three means of austerities. Without austerities, it is not possible. And that is, they endowed with that supreme faith. And afala kankshibhi. And they do it only for what we call chitta shuddhi, for mental purity. Chitta shuddhi means what? That the true knowledge dawns, like a pure mirror, clean mirror, reflects what is in front of it without distortion. So convex or concave mirrors, unlike these two, it reflects exactly what it is, and that is what is this world is. It is also God, but it is temporary. God alone is real, and I am also coming from God. I am God, and the goal of life is to know I am God. And that with that only desire they go on doing. And then what type of mind they have? Yuktai. They have a mind which is serene, which is full of peace, which is composed, which is always in a state of yoga. That means they are continuously dwelling in God. And this has been told by every sage who has realized God. This is called Sattvika tapasya. Then just there is Rajasika person does it. What does he do? Satkara mana pujartham tapodam bhena chayvayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalam adhruvam. The austerity that is practiced in order to gain respect, honor and reverence and for ostentation is said to be of the nature of rajas. Its result is uncertain and transitory. Beautiful. Shankara again comes to our satkaraha, sadhukaraha. That is, what is satkara? Satkara means respect, honor, etc. Satkara, mana means honor, pujartham, and people have to worship me as a great person, and dambhena, and they want everybody to recognize it. We will discuss this point with a little detail as much as possible today. First of all, satkara. They want to be honored by everybody. So, sadhukaraha. What is sadhukara? This person is a great sadhu. Sadhu, I am tapasvi. This sadhu is a great tapasya. And then Shankara, of course, he was born in a Brahmana family. And neither he forgets it, nor he makes us forget that he was a Brahmana. So, he adds, tapasvi Brahmana. This Brahmana is a great man of austerity. A man of austerity means what? His requirements are very little, he eats very little, he sleeps very little, and his needs are extremely few. He refuses everything. This, without being like that, this man wants to show everybody, because this is what he does in public. This type of worship is done by people, not for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi, but for the sake of even getting greater glory in the society, purely for the purpose of being considered a good person, a tapasvi satkara. One of our sadhus told me something very important. You see, every organization, people also fall into this trap. What is it? Here is a novice. He joined and he tries to observe. Very soon he forgets his innocence and the purity of his purpose. He says, oh, this person is very near to the head of the center. Why? Because always he is oiling him, flattering him. Whatever the head does is absolutely right. These are called flatterers. And every dictator is only surrounded. Otherwise, he will make them de-headed. So, this novice learns, if I want more facilities, more favors, and higher positions, then I have to do the same thing to this person also. So, this Rajasika person, he also does ostentatiously this kind of austerities belonging to the body, speech as well as mind, and very funny things also will come out, about which we will discuss in our tomorrow's class. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanoramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with right understanding and bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.